Hey all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on all things happening in Alberta with the world of wrestling. There really is no better source. All the information will be listed in the link below. You can also remember to like and subscribe to this podcast if you're enjoying the content. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can check me out on social media. I am on Twitter at WrestleSode or at facebook.com/WrestleSode. Or you can check out my website at WrestleSode.com. Now, we're going to be talking about what's happened in the world of wrestling during the month of November. Now, there was a lot. Now, you could say there wasn't quite as much that happened as in October with the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars, but those continued in full effect during this month. There were some highs, there were some lows, some controversial bits, and some very amazing bits. But we're going to be starting off the month with a bit of a controversial bit. So on November 1st, upwards of 175 staff members of the WWE, including talents, producers, and crew, were stuck in Saudi Arabia, causing extreme delays for SmackDown Live. Now, this was incredibly controversial because of the overwhelming different possibilities as to what kept the WWE members of staff in Saudi Arabia. So the official statement was that the plane that they were on was having technical issues, and then, of course, the pilots couldn't take off because it would go over shift, and there was just a whole lot of stuff leading to, I think it was over 8 hours of delays, which caused some extreme problems for the WWE. Now, that was the statement that was given by the WWE, the official statement. But of course, the internet got into this and they were talking about what other things it could have been. And of course, the story of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia keeping the WWE members of staff hostage was definitely one of those things. Now, it seems like all of that has been ruled out at this point. It seems like the general consensus was that indeed there were in plane issues. But it's a very interesting and controversial way to start the month when you have almost 200 members of staff of the WWE trapped in a controversial country that has been known with human rights violations and issues regarding American citizens from a couple of years ago. But anyways, we won't get into that. Let's just say this led to the WWE creative team having to put their a light under them a little bit because they had to use NXT to come up to SmackDown and essentially take over the show with the few talents that were there, kind of providing an invasion angle since NXT was listed as a member of Survivor Series as the third team. So they came up to SmackDown Live. And they actually put on probably one of the best SmackDown Lives that I had seen in a long time. It was just a really fun match, or a really fun show. And I think they did a really great match, considering all the weirdness that happened in Saudi Arabia. But there was not only that. Brock Lesnar quit SmackDown Live, taking the WWE Championship with him back to Raw because he was trying to find Rey Mysterio, as where The Fiend took the Universal Championship to SmackDown. So that's what happened on just the very first day of the month. Quite a busy day to start off the month. On November 2nd, 2019, the Prairie Wrestling Alliance had their Battle at the Dome card, which took place at the Calgary Saddle Dome. Now, this was a historic night for the franchise, as not even the WWE hosts events in that building anymore. Like, wrestling in the Saddle Dome was essentially reserved for Stampede Wrestling and the WWE. Like, it hasn't happened in a long time. So this was an incredible moment for the Prairie Wrestling Alliance. It took place in conjunction with Bret Hart Night for the Calgary Hitmen, when the Calgary Hitmen were taking on the Saskatoon Blades, and Bret Hart was there to talk about his career, and they had a really cool t-shirt, which I now own, because I got to actually be at this event, and it was amazing. It was a great event. And it was great to see the Prairie Wrestling Alliance on such a massive stage. On November 3rd, we had Hiromu Takahashi returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling after breaking his neck 16 months ago. Now, this took him out of action, and I remember when this happened, it was incredibly depressing because Takahashi is absolutely fantastic. But he came back and challenged Will Ospreay to a match at Wrestle Kingdom 14, which will obviously take place on January 4th, as that is a a very historic day in New Japan. They have been putting on events on January 4th for 20 something years at this point. All started in the Tokyo Dome. Not only that, Chris Jericho returned to New Japan to challenge Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace, the essentially John Cena of New Japan to their own match at Wrestle Kingdom 14 as well. And I think that could be incredibly amazing. These are two really high-profile matches that I think will be taking place, with Takahashi returning to New Japan after breaking his neck. Plus, it's Will Ospreay. It's the Aerial Assassin. He's one of the best wrestlers on the entire planet. So those two matches are definitely something that you're going to have to look forward to. And November 4th, Brock Lesnar appears on Raw with the WWE Championship, obviously looking for Rey Mysterio, leading to a month-long feud that would culminate at Survivor Series. This feud also included Cain Velasquez, who made his debut on the WWE, as well as Dominic Rey Mysterio slash Eddie Guerrero's son, depending on whose side you were on in that feud. Not only that, but Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler have an incredible backstage face-to-face chat. And it was one of the coolest promos that I had seen on main roster in a long time. It was really fun to watch. But however, it did make Bayley feel like a bit of an afterthought when it came to Survivor Series, because it was going to be a triple threat match. On November 5th, we had Seth Rollins and Dave Meltzer getting into a bit of a Twitter spat over some misinformation regarding a Raw pre-show pep talk that apparently never really transpired. This kind of led to a little bit of debate within the Twitter community and the wrestling community as a whole as to how the whole insider information thing works, as to how accurate some of these people can be. And, you know, it's a bit sad, but everybody is very invested in wrestling. Everybody wants to know what's going on. So these, people with these inside sources, they do really well. And, you know, sometimes they get some really good information, but it does always lead to a lot of misinformation at times, which does suck. It's always nicer to just, you know, talk to the promotions and get it straight from the bull's mouth. But unfortunately, that's not the world that we live in. But Dave Meltzer did apologize to Seth Rollins, because apparently he was a little bit in the wrong. But not only that, four new recruits did join the Performance Center. Scarlett Bordeaux, a former AAA Ring of Honor and Impact star. Shotzi Blackheart, a former Shine and Hood Slam star. Indy Hartwell, a former Newcastle Pro and Riot City Wrestling star. And Stephen Smith, a referee who graduated from Ohio Valley Wrestling and also had worked for Evolve. So that was really cool to see. Those should be some really cool names to be seeing on WWE TV. And I can't wait to see where they go. On November 8th, we have the New Day defeating the Rival to become the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, and this becomes their sixth time as Tag Team Champions, the New Day, so congratulations to them. This is, of course, Big E and Kofi Kingston, as Xavier Woods currently out on injury with a torn, of course, now again, I think it's an Achilles tendon. I think that's what it is. Well, we could just guess. Not only that, but Sami Callihan pins Brian Cage to become Impact World Champion. They set up a match for Sami Callihan versus Tessa Blanchard, which will be taking place on January 12th on their Hard to Kill pay-per-view. And this could be really huge for Impact if they ended up putting this championship on Tessa Blanchard, becoming the first female world champion for the promotion. But I mean, Sami Callihan just did get that championship, so we will see how things will progress towards January 12th. On November 9th, we had the AEW Full Gear, their first pay-per-view officially after starting their television, which led to quite a lot of good matches. I think some that I felt a little underwhelming, some that I thought just absolutely stole the show. We'll just go through the card here quickly. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, or Doctor of Medical Dentistry, defeated Bea Priestley by submission. Proud and Powerful, aka Santana and Ortiz, defeated the Young Bucks. We had Adam Page defeating Pac. Sean Spears, alongside Tully Blanchard, defeating Joey Janela. SoCal Uncensored, which is Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, defeating Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr., and Rey Fénix, as well as Private Party of Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. We had Riho defending against Emi Sakura for her AEW World Women's Championship. We had Chris Jericho alongside Jake Hager defeating Cody alongside MJF by technical submission. And this is, of course, after this match, MJF turning heel on Cody, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And then finally, we had Jon Moxley defeating Kenny Omega in an unsanctioned lights out match, which was absolutely amazing and brutal. And you just really had to see it. On the same night, we had legendary wrestler Jushin Thunder Liger wrestling his final match in the U.S. in San Jose, losing alongside Aaron Solo to Colt Cabana and Toru Yano. So, of course, we have Jushin Thunder Liger, who is going to be retiring here in the near future, and this was his final match inside the USA. So, of course, we're all going to be very sad to see the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger retire, but, you know, you got to keep moving, and he can do a lot of great stuff in the world of teaching and producer roles or whatever he wants to do. The man has earned whatever he wants to do at this point. On November 13th, we had a whole bunch of different things happening, so let's talk about them a little bit. Now, let's start off with another controversial one. We had Albert C. Hardy, a.k.a. ACH, a.k.a. Jordan Miles, officially quitting the WWE over a dispute regarding racism within the WWE over that t-shirt that was announced back in October, where they were stating that it was kind of depicting blackface. Now, I personally didn't think the t-shirt was in good taste. I really didn't like the t-shirt, but no t-shirts were ever sold, and WWE did agree to changing the logo. I think the original incident occurred in October, but like officially ACH and WWE parted ways on November 13th. Now, as to whether or not we can say how well it was handled, I won't get into that. Let's just say ACH, aka Jordan Miles, it'd probably not be working for the WWE again, unless, of course, it's worth money to the WWE in the future. But then we'd also have to have ACH sacrificing his morals, and I just don't see it happening. Next, we had CM Punk appearing on WWE backstage after a near 6-year absence from any WWE programming. Now, of course, CM Punk saying now he is a staff member of Raw, or I'm sorry, of Fox, not of the WWE, but he did appear now on WWE backstage programming. Also on this day, we had Scorpio Sky pinning Chris Jericho, handing Chris Jericho his first loss in All Elite Wrestling. This was the first time he lost the match, and this was the first time he was pinned. SoCal Uncensored, of course, were Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara at the time. And not only that, but we had Wardlow, former IWC centerpiece slash champion, making his debut in AEW as well. On November 15th, we had Bray Wyatt introducing SmackDown to the newest incarnation of the Universal Championship by having a blue strap instead of a red one after doing kind of like a magic act routine. Though he would introduce another Universal Championship a little later on in the month. We'll get to that. But let's just say this blue one that started off, I just didn't like it very much. It just made it feel too corny, especially because everything in the Firefly Funhouse is made to be red. For him to have a blue one just didn't feel quite right, but that's okay, because he has a new Universal Championship, and we will get to that a little bit later on in the month. On November 16, NXT UK announced their return to Blackpool for NXT TakeOver Blackpool 2, which will be taking place on January 12th at the Empress Ballroom. Now, at the last NXT TakeOver in Blackpool, we had Walter winning the NXT UK Championship from Pete Dunne, and he has held that championship since. It's been nearly a year at this point. So Walter has been doing a great job representing NXT UK as their champion. On November 18th, a little bit of a lighthearted note, you know, to kind of go away from all the different controversial things that have been happening throughout the month, we had Chad Gable and his wife welcoming their third child, though it's not necessarily wrestling related. It's just nice to take a break from some of the bad news sometimes we get that muddle through some of these news programming. Because it does happen, unfortunately. On November 19th, we have some more controversial stuff now. This was confirmed a couple of days later on November 21st, but on November 19th, Ring of Honor fires their Women of Honor champion, Kelly Klein, by email while Kelly Klein was still on injury leave for a concussion. Now, this is not going to be a good month for Ring of Honor, let's just be honest. Now we're just going to take a couple seconds here to talk about this. There has been a lot of controversy surrounding Ring of Honor as of late as to why or not, you know, a company with such huge legacy, bringing up such names like the Young Bucks, Kevin Owens, Adam Cole, like so many huge names, like everybody went through Ring of Honor and it held such prestige for such a long time, has now just kind of been riddled with controversy and weird like backstage bickering, and it just doesn't seem to have a very good feel trust amongst the fans right now. And it's kind of depressing to see, because I know Ring of Honor has been such a staple in the world of wrestling, but they haven't been able to succeed in this year of wrestling when so many promotions have gone, had their ups and downs because of things like All Elite Wrestling and the Wednesday Night Wars, the new prominence going on in the world of wrestling. There's a couple of different things, but Ring of Honor, unfortunately, doesn't seem like they've been capitalizing on much except for the controversial aspects. And if you're paying attention to things on Twitter, you can tell that it's just not the healthiest environment for Ring of Honor right now. I mean, firing your women's champion by email while she's on injury leave for concussion. Now, you can say it wasn't necessarily that she was fired. It's that they did not renew her contract. Technically, it's the same thing. I mean, we can look into the laws and everything. I'm not a lawyer, but essentially, it's a very bad look on Ring of Honor from doing something like this. But hey, I like Ring of Honor. I want to see them succeed. They have amazing talents there. They were doing great things with things like Villain Enterprises, aka Marty Scurll and his faction. You got people there, you know, there's like the Kingdom there. We had people there like Dalton Castle that I really enjoy. There's a lot of great stuff that happens in Ring of Honor. And just to see this kind of stuff happening, it just makes me sad. But hey, you know what? Support local independent wrestling, at the very least, everybody. If you're a big fan of Ring of Honor and this is turning you off from that, go check out local independent wrestling. It's amazing no matter where you are. You have people who are hardworking talents. Except if you're in Alberta, you just have the best. We'll just be honest about that. I'll just say that first. I love Alberta independent wrestling. I honestly think we have the best talents here. But yeah, anyways, that's just me going on a little bit of a spiel and a little bit of a rant. On November 22nd, we had Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura introducing the new black leather Intercontinental Championship belt. Now, this is retiring the white one that was made famous by Cody Rhodes. Now, there's been a few incarnations of it, of course, but it was basically set in stone back in 2011, Cody Rhodes introducing that new white belt. It was a beautiful belt, and it's held for 8 years. I thought the Intercontinental Championship was the best-looking belt inside of the main roster WWE, but it has changed. It is now a nice black one. It's got definitely a more sleek look to it. I personally don't like it more than the white one, but I know a lot of people do, and it's a good-looking belt. I will give it that. It wouldn't look bad around my waist, except I'm probably not going to be seeing any belts around that waist for a long time, except the ones that are keeping up my pants. Anyways, that's the only leather belt that I'm going to end up having. But this new black leather belt, it looks really, really nice, and it looks good on Shinsuke, so we can say that. But I still was a bigger fan of the white belt back from 2011 to 2019. On November 23rd, we had NXT War Games. Now, this was a fantastic pay-per-view. We had, and we'll go through it here in the pre-show, Angel Garza defeating Isaiah Swerve Scott. We had Team Ripley versus Team Baszler. Now, Team Ripley was Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Dakota Kai. And they defeated Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, and Kaylee Ray. Now, Dakota Kai turned heel during this Women's War Game match, putting Team Ripley at an incredible disadvantage by taking out Tegan Nox, and then was, of course, kicked to the back of the ring, or to the backstage, and it really did cripple Team Ripley. However, Rhea Ripley was a star through this whole invasion angle, through the Survivor Series weekend, and we'll get through who do I think won in NXT as the biggest winners and losers, but Team Ripley did beat Team Baszler for the first ever Women's War Game match. We had Pete Dunne defeating Damian Priest and Killian Dane in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship, which would be taking place at Survivor Series. We had Finn Balor defeating Matt Riddle, and we had Team Ciampa defeating the Undisputed Era inside their own War Games match with Team Ciampa, with Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and Kevin Owens, who showed up at that. But you know what, guys? It was a great pay-per-view. It's always a great pay-per-view. NXT can't put on a bad takeover, it seems. And in my opinion, the pay-per-views that NXT puts on are still the best pay-per-views that we can see. Takeovers are just the best, man. And not only that, a great night for NXT, but Tony Nese and his wife also introduced a new baby into the world, the next premier athlete. Congratulations to Tony Nese and his wife. There we go, a second baby for the WWE on November 23rd. On November 24th, now we have Survivor Series. Now, this was an amazing pay-per-view. I think this was probably the best main roster pay-per-view that WWE has put on this year. So let's go through the matches a little bit and talk about what happened. So we had Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, aka Rudolph from Team SmackDown, last eliminating the Street Profits in a 10-man interbrand tag team battle royal, which included teams like the Forgotten Sons, Heavy Machinery. Like, there was a whole bunch of different teams. The OC, just go look it up. We did have Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler winning. Next, we had in the other there were three pre-show matches. So that gives SmackDown, for the record, a 1-0-0 lead going into the Survivor Series weekend. Next, we had Lio Rush defending the NXT Cruiserweight Championship against Akira Tozawa of Raw and Kalisto of SmackDown, giving NXT a 1-1 tie with SmackDown and Raw still at 0. In an interbrand triple threat match for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, of course. Then finally, the champions triple threat tag team match for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. We had the Viking Raiders defeating the New Day and the Undisputed Era. So this was a 1-1-1 all draw going after the pre-show into Survivor Series. And unfortunately, that would be the last time Raw won a match, very similar to the year prior, where SmackDown only won the tag match in the pre-show, and they didn't count it. They said that Raw had swept last year, which, though that technically wasn't true. But we have a 1-1-1 tie going through the pre-show into the main card. Next, for Survivor Series, for Team NXT, we had Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae, and Io Shirai, and Toni Storm of Team NXT, defeating Team Raw, Charlotte Flair, Natalya, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan, and Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross in a 5-on-5-on-5 Women's Survivor Series triple threat elimination match, which is great for Team NXT because they are now leading, going 2-1-1. Next up, we had Roderick Strong, NXT's North American champion, defeating AJ Styles, Raw's United States champion, and Shinsuke Nakamura, SmackDown's Intercontinental champion, in a champions triple threat match. The basically battle for the mid-card belt. Congratulations to Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Era, and going 3-1-1 for NXT. Next up, we had for the NXT championship match, Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne. And Adam Cole retaining, in which was probably the greatest match of the night, in my opinion. These two can't put on a bad match. It felt like a takeover match. These two are so good. Adam Cole, obviously one of my favorite wrestlers, and same with Pete Dunne. And I really love Pete Dunne's joint manipulation. It just makes me really happy. Next, for the Universal Championship, we had the Fiend Bray Wyatt taking on Daniel Bryan, and the Fiend retaining the championship. After basically killing Daniel Bryan again with the mandible claw. That's just how it goes. Next, in a 5-on-5-on-5 men's Survivor Series triple threat match, we had Team SmackDown, consisting of Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, Mustafa, and I'm going to say Chad Gable, but Shorty G, defeating Team Raw of Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet, and Team NXT of Tommaso Ciampa, Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and Walter. Now, this was an amazing match, and it showcased especially one man above all else, Keith Lee, after he had essentially a 2-on-1 against Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns at one point, where he managed to take out both of them, pin Seth Rollins, but just come short barely to Roman Reigns after an amazing powerbomb that was so good. But wow, yeah, that was one heck of a match. SmackDown taking their second win, making it 3-2-1, still in favor of NXT. Next, for the WWE Championship, we had Brock Lesnar alongside Paul Heyman defeating Rey Mysterio alongside, I guess you could say, Dominic. Like, it was a no-holds-barred match. It didn't last very long, as most Brock Lesnar matches don't tend to. But Brock Lesnar retains. He is going to continue to be the WWE champion. And if sources online are accurate into what they are saying, we won't be seeing Brock Lesnar until 2020 on television, which is incredibly sad news for the WWE championship, but it does make the U.S. championship on Raw essentially the main title. Anyways, next up, we had the main event of the night, the Champions Triple Threat match for the Women's Championship. We had Team Baszler, or Shayna Baszler from NXT. We had Bayley, and we had from SmackDown, and Becky Lynch from Raw. Shayna Baszler winning defeating Becky Lynch and Bayley. She beat up Becky Lynch and then tapped out Bayley at the very end, leading to a 4-2-1 victory at Survivor Series for NXT, which is a huge win for NXT, especially considering it was considered the developmental brand for so long. But now they are on TV on Wednesday night. They are embroiled in a war right now with AEW, and thanks to this pay-per-view, we did have NXT picking up their first win in the Wednesday Night Wars against AEW, picking up, I think it was like about 30,000 more views, but that's still a 30,000, I think it was that anyways, win for NXT. So congratulations, the Wednesday Night Wars are very exciting. I don't really pick a side when it comes to the Wednesday Night Wars because all the programming on Wednesday night is just fantastic and I get to enjoy both, and so I don't choose a side. Anyways, because of the whole invasion angle with NXT on SmackDown, on Raw, making NXT seem more prominent and then giving them such a showing at Survivor Series, we're going to go through quickly who I think are the five biggest winners from NXT, especially when it comes to being recognized by main roster audiences now. I'll go in a reverse order. I think that your fifth biggest winner from NXT from this whole thing is Keith Lee. Now, Keith Lee's performance for the men's 5-on-5-on-5 elimination match at Survivor Series was amazing. He was the last surviving member of Team Ciampa. Of course, Tommaso Ciampa was eliminated second last, but Keith Lee managed to pin Seth Rollins, which is a huge win for Keith Lee, and also had an amazing showing, like I said, against Roman Reigns. So Keith Lee takes my number five spot. Number four, I have Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, Ciampa has been seen quite a lot and prominently on the main roster, especially with being Team Ciampa, him leading the men's team for NXT, having matches against people like The Miz. You know, he was there the first night in this invasion, and he was there essentially every night that he was needed. I think Tommaso Ciampa did great on the main roster, and I think audiences are now going to be seeing him a lot more. In third place, I have Rhea Ripley. Now, Rhea Ripley had an amazing weekend for NXT. Her winning in the the War Games match at TakeOver was absolutely great, especially considering her team was down. She got the final pin. She pinned Baszler. It was amazing. Her team wins. And then not only that, she gets the win at Survivor Series as well. Rhea Ripley looks like a star. She looks like a beast. She looks absolutely incredible. Rhea Ripley is my number three. Number two, I have Shayna Baszler. Now, Shayna Baszler won the final match at Survivor Series. She beat Becky Lynch and Bayley in her first ever main roster WWE pay-per-view, which happens to be one of their big four at SmackDown. She had that incredible promo against Becky. She's held her own every night. Shayna Baszler, obviously one of the biggest women's champions, probably, I'm going to say the second best women's champion, in my opinion, in NXT women's history, behind only Asuka. But I really like Shayna Baszler, but I think this entire month has been a great month for Shayna Baszler. And my number one, who I think was the biggest to pay off for NXT when it came to main roster, was Adam Cole. Baby. Because Adam Cole, obviously, he was the champion for NXT. He put on the best match of the night at Survivor Series. He was used to take on Daniel Bryan, and he beat Daniel Bryan clean on SmackDown on his first ever appearance there. He had a match against Seth Rollins. Of course, that didn't really end with, like, normally it was kind of like a big brawl, so that didn't count. But he was useful in NXT. He was beating everybody, and not only that, he had the win at Survivor Series, though he did technically lose at TakeOver, but who cares? War Games is whatever. But Adam Cole, I think, was your biggest winner for NXT. Now, let's finish up the month here very quickly, as that was the end of November 24th. And November 25th, we have a couple of different things. Seth Rollins turning heel in a town hall meeting, running down Randy Orton, Charlotte Flair, the Authors of Pain, Rey Mysterio, and Kevin Owens in probably my favorite Seth Rollins segment for a little bit. I like him as a heel. I think he does better as a heel. He was running everybody down. Kevin Owens gets into the ring at the very end after everybody goes backstage. Kevin Owens doesn't say a thing. Seth Rollins says so much crap, and then Kevin Owens gives him the stunner. And I'm wearing a Kevin Owens shirt, so I'm a big fan of Kevin Owens, and I really like that. I think that was huge. And it's nice to see Seth Rollins going back to heel. But not only that, Rey Mysterio defeated AJ Styles to become this two-time U.S. champion. And not only that, that's his 13th title within the WWE since joining it. Rey Mysterio is absolutely a legend. And now that it seems like Brock Lesnar won't be on WWE programming, we're going to be seeing the United States Championship becoming kind of like the main title on your week-to-week programming for Raw, and Rey Mysterio as your current champion. Next, on November 25th, we had the Clandestine Society announcing their fifth match for Act 1, which is taking place on December 14th. The matches listed now are as follows: Michael Richard Blaze versus Brandon Van Danielson, or BVD, versus Artemis Spencer. We have Team Flex Appeal himself, Michael Allen Richard Clark versus Son of Irish. We have Zoe Sager versus Nicole Matthews. We have Mike McSugar versus Dylan Stone in a newly announced dildo on a pole match, which that should be a very interesting match. I'm going to be at this event live, and I'm going to be doing a review of it. And you better believe this is one of the matches that I'm really looking forward to. I'm curious how it's going to play out. And then finally, the fifth match announced now is Evan Adams versus Sheik Akbar Shabazz versus Colton Kelly in a triple threat death match. So this will be the first death match I've ever witnessed live personally. I'm very excited for it at the Clandestine Society. The Clandestine Society, which of course you have to be invited to. You have to have an invite to go to this event. It will be streaming live on YouTube and on Twitch. And I really hope that all of you will be giving it a watch on December 14th. I will be there. It's going to be a hell of a night. I cannot wait. On November 27th, we had Butcher and Blade debuting on AEW, taking out Cody. And now the team consists now of Andy Williams, Pepper Parks, and Ali. So it's a new faction, I guess you could say, joining the ranks of AEW. Of course, we have the Elite and the Inner Circle. And I guess you could also say in those three-man factions and things like SoCal Uncensored or Jurassic Express. But as it is a very team-oriented television programming, and I really like that. I hope the women's division gets something here pretty soon for something like that, because that would be really cool. On November 29th, for the second time this month, Bray Wyatt unveiled a new Universal Championship that I will admit looks absolutely awesome. In fact, you can buy a replica of this belt from the Tom Savini Studios for just a little over $7,000 US with taxes and everything included. Now, to be fair, each one will be unique as it is all being handcrafted. They will be numbered and they will come with a certificate, and it's still damn expensive. I do not have $7,000 to spend on this replica belt, but if you want to take a look at it, you will see the new belt that Bray Wyatt has unveiled as his Universal Championship, and I will admit, it does look really, really cool. Though it's not your very typical belt, especially in the WWE, it's very unique, and I would definitely give it a look. And on November 30th, to end the month, like we started the month with a little bit of a controversial note, we had the announcement that Ring of Honor blocks former three-time woman Kelly Klein on Twitter. Now, you can say, that's not wrestling news. That's just drama. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't look good for Ring of Honor, especially with this whole Kelly Klein situation, especially for them to be blocking their former talents now on Twitter after firing them via email while they were on concussion leave. Like I said, just not the best look for Ring of Honor. Now, also, there was a little bit more controversy that was going on Twitter yesterday. Jordynne Grace of Impact was talking about how before she was main eventing the show with three other women, the Sandman came up to her and said that no woman should be main eventing a show, and any man with any sense of talent would agree with him, kind of a thing. And that is absolute horseshit. And I hate to hear that if that's true coming out of the Sandman, but it seems like it is indeed true. Why do people talk? Guys, this is 2019, okay? If you don't like women's wrestling, just don't watch wrestling, because it's the same thing. Like, there's no difference between women and men's wrestling. You've got talented people in the ring kicking ass and doing a great job telling a story. If you don't like it, men or women, just don't watch wrestling at that point. It angers me. This is 2019. Women's wrestling is just as important as men's wrestling. And to hear shit like that really angers me. But anyways, that rounded out the month of November. Now we are in December, everybody, and it is going to be an amazing month. Obviously, the holidays coming up here in a couple of weeks, but the thing that I am very much looking forward to, like I was saying, is the Clandestine Society, which will be taking place on December 14th. Remember to be watching that online if you do not have an invitation to Act One. If you do, come say hi to me, because indeed I will be there and I will be doing a review of the Clandestine Society, Act One as well. And thank you again to everybody. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit like and subscribe. And once again, thank you to everybody who was very excited to hear me get introduced as a new member of the Wind Column Sports Network family. It really is very exciting for me. I can't honestly put into words how cool it is that I get to help build up the Alberta scene in my own little way. And I can't wait to do a whole bunch of cool stuff with the Wind Column Sports Network. Also, we have the year-end awards taking place for Backbreaker Media to go and vote on your top spot male, female wrestlers of the year here in Alberta. I am a panelist, and I will be doing a podcast in December with regards to this. So I'll have the link below. Remember to go vote if you haven't yet, because it's very, very important. And now that brings us to the end. I hope you all have yourself a wonderful night, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.